Hello there, a very warm welcome to the Racing Post Weekend Postcast. I'm Bruce Millington, and joining me to look ahead to two fantastic days of jumps racing are David Jennings and Graham Rodway. G-Rod's not been on the postcast for a while, but it's great to have him back. And we've also got from Paddy Power, we've got Graham Temple. I think, Graham, you had a winning nap last week, so let's see if you can follow up on that. Right then, here's what we've got coming up on the show. It's ITV on the main channel on Saturday, and that brings in four races from Ascot. We've got two from Haydock and one from Wincanton. And then the bonus of last weekend's racing being so decimated by the weather is that the brilliant Newbury card has been carried over to Sunday. That is also on ITV. And then we've also got some supplementary racing from Market Raisin and at Navan, where the Mighty Tiger Roll is due to run. So, tons and tons to get on with. We will start with the 150 at Ascot on Saturday. It's the Batto London Reynoldstown Novices Chase over 3 miles. And Graham, how do Paddy Power bet on this?
Yeah, topping our market is Severano at 3-1, fullbacks at 100-30, remastered 9-2, 5-1 Hurricane Harvey, 11-2 Damanchine, also at 11-2 is Kaluki, and that's the lot of them.
Thank you. Great to have you back, G-Rod. You've got a promotion, you've got a new job, so you're obviously too important for postcasts these days, yeah?
Yeah, I moved myself upstairs, Bruce, yeah. It's good to be back, and it's an interesting race, this first one, isn't it? I thought it was a very difficult race from a punting perspective, so I was going to give it the swerve. The one thing I do think, though, is that Severano might not stay here, so I would be against the favourite. But that's my sort of itsy-bitsy view on it.
OK, that's all right. That may help some people. The going's expected to be soft at Ascot. DJ, are you slightly more confident than G-Rod?
I am, Bruce. I like remastered here. David Pipe has turned a corner. He's had four winners in the last fortnight. And you've seen with Eamon on Connick at Sandown the other day. His horses are just really starting to hit fire. And I think with remastered, he's had a wind operation. This is his second run after wind operation. And while he only won a two-runner race at Wetherby last time, I like the way he jumped and travelled. He seemed to be enjoying himself an awful lot more. And I think he's an out-and-out three-mile chaser on really soft ground. That's what he gets here. I think he's better than 138 rated horse. His Racing Post rating was 144 at Wetherby. And I think he should be closer to favour, Bruce.
Thank you, DJ. G-Rod doesn't fancy Severano. DJ does fancy Remastered. Graham, what are your thoughts on this?
I'm with Remastered as well. As we've already heard, it's having the second run following a wind up. It's done nothing wrong in its last two starts. Quite interesting at the time of recording at the moment, David Pipe, his last eight runners, he's had four winners and the other four were all pulled up. So if this Remastered finishes, it wouldn't be hard to see it win. I've also talked to a couple of our traders, Ryan McHugh and Frank Hickey, and they both like Remastered as well. So it's a nice price. I'm going to stick with that one.
Thank you. The 225 is also over 3 miles. It is the My Odds Boost on Betfair Swinley Chase. Difficult looking race, this. Plenty of runners, nice and wide open. 12 runners indeed. Graham, take us through the prices.
We've got Jerry's Back as the 4-1 favourite here. Cubalobos 5-1, 11-2, not a chance. 7-1, Captain Chaos, and 9-1, Bar.
DJ, is this the sort of race where you look at it and something jumps off the page and hits you between the eyes and says, back me?
Yeah, absolutely, Bruce. I hate this, but I think the favourite is really, really solid. I know that's a phrase that Graham hates, but I think last time over 2.5 miles behind Drashiel Dasher, 2.5 miles it was at Ascot. That trip just gets to him. He just gets tapped for toe at crucial stages, stayed on in third, was only beaten 5 lengths. His previous start was way back in December 2019. So he's entitled to come on for that run. He's had a nice little month break. And I think given that he loves the track so much, he's rated 142. He was 148 a year ago. I think he's well handicapped. I think he's the right favourite. He loves the track. He is the one for me, Bruce. Jerry's Back.
Oh, good. I was going to say, you've gone through the whole thing without actually naming him, but you got it in there at the end. Jerry's Back for DJ. Graham Temple.
Yeah, an interesting race this one, isn't it, over the 3 miles? And we're paying four places in the race. So for that reason alone, I always look for something at a double figure price for a bit of a value each way play. And I've fallen on a horse here, and I can't believe that its current 16-1 is going to be there tomorrow. It's Venetia Williams's Cloudy Glen. Now, I was watching the Welsh National when it was on there in January, and I followed Cloudy Glen through the race when he was held up well off the pace. Came there cruising, pulling a couple of buses, still about 10 lengths off the pace with about four to jump. But then he sort of ran out of puff a little bit. It's dropped in trip for this race. And Venetia Williams has been sending out a few winners lately, five from her last 26. Do you know what, Bruce? I'm not allowed, I won't allow myself to nap a horse at such a price, but I'll be certainly back in Cloudy Glen each way with the four places we're offering.
And G-Rod.
Yeah, quite a fancy one in here. It's a massive price, and it keeps going off massive price. I don't know why. Sub-lieutenant or sub-lieutenant. I know people sort of have a difference of opinion in the way they pronounce that. I don't know what's right. I always go with lieutenant, but a lot of people say lieutenant. But
I think it is lieutenant, yeah.
Yeah, all right, sub-lieutenant. So he...
said it's lieutenant. You went, all right. Sub-lieutenant. Anyway, let's not mess around with details, Gerard. Why do you fancy him?
Now, I tipped him last time on this podcast at 66-1 in a handicap chase over the course and distance, and he travelled so well through the whole race. I was getting so excited as he turned into the straight. I thought I was going to have a 66-1 winner. He just didn't get home as well as I hoped he would. He finished fourth in the end behind Mr. Malarkey. But, yeah, that was an excellent run for his first start for Georgie Howe, the trainer, and his first start after leaving Ireland for Britain. He hadn't run since July at the Galway Festival. He's a grade one winner, I think, in the past. He was a really good horse at his best in Ireland. He's dropped to a nice mark. I think he's racing off 146 here. And I'm convinced he's going to improve for that reappearance run when he finished fourth. If he travels as well as he did that day and then is fitter on this occasion, I think he might see out the race better. And if he does, he's got an absolutely superb chance of placing, and he might even win, and he's going to be what, 33-40-1? So sub lieutenant for me in the 2.5.
Yes, Jerry's back for DJ, and then the other two lads, Grand Temple goes for the 16-1 second outsider, if that is such a thing, Cloudy Glen, and Giro goes for the absolute outsider, 33-1 sub lieutenant. The 3 o'clock at Ascot is the 2 mile, 3.5 furlongs. Betfair, Cheltenham free bet, pot builder, handicap hurdle, and it's another wide open affair, Graham Temple.
Yeah, and it's another race for each way backers, with Paddy going five places in this race. Reaver Dirty tops our marker for John Joe Neal at 6-1, alongside Gladiator Allen, which is also at the same price. Don Le Vent is a, well, sorry for the French pronunciation, 13-2. Pillion is a 9-1 shot alongside Cateson, and Malaya also 9-1. Goodman Pat 9-1 as well. And it's 11-1 Barbrus.
And who'd you fancy, Graham?
In this 3 o'clock, fancied Capage when it raced last time, January the 16th at Warwick, Bruce. It was bang there when it was chopped the room with about three fences, or about three hurdles to jump. And it ran out of puff after that. The jockey didn't knock it around. David Pipe Trains, we've mentioned him already earlier on in the show. He's absolutely flying lately. And I think Capage each way could be of interest here. That's going to be my play, Capage each way.
Right then, Graham Rodway, who's your selection?
This was a very difficult race, I thought, Bruce. So I'm going to give this one a swerve.
Okay, matey. And David Jennings.
I like Malaya here, Bruce. Second in the race last year, was hammered by Nardano, but £2 lower this time, off 136. I thought last time at Kempton, 2 miles was just a little bit sharp. I think this is his trip, and 9-1. I think it's solid each way investment, because I'd be very surprised if he's out of the placings. Malaya.
Thank you very much. We move on to the highlight of the Ascot card, the 3.35. It's the 2 mile, 5 furlong Betfair Ascot Chase. Surname heads the market. We will find out whether the boys are going to give a tick or a cross to the enigmatic surname after Graham Temple's taken us through Paddy Power's prices.
Yeah, surname is 8-11. Master Tommy Tucker, 100-30. Dashiell Drasher has also entered for a big race on Sunday. He's 11-2. 9-1 Benny's King, 18-1 Bar.
G-Rod, what do we make of Surname? He's in and out, Paul Nicholls described him as sulky the other day. On his day, he's absolutely superb. At his worst, he's not particularly good. I still can't. I think this horse is going to retire and I still won't have a clue about what to do with him.
He's a very, very funny horse, isn't he? But he's got loads of talent on his day, as we know. And he'll blow these away if he's anywhere near his best, because I think he's got something like 14 or 15 pound in hand on his best form, which all, of course, has come over the course and distance. And even if he was to run to his 174 Racing Post rating that he achieved at Weatherby in the Charlie Hall, he would have loads in hand of Marcy Tomatucker, who looks his main danger. Of course, the problem is he keeps throwing in stinkers. And when he runs below form, he don't run a stone below form. He runs miles below form. I think three of his last four runs have been absolutely appalling, including the last one where he just showed absolutely nothing. So you can't have a horse like that on your mind at odds on, can you? My main worry here, though, Bruce, is what exactly is going to go on with the tactics here? Because you've got Surname, Master Tommy Tucker and Dashiell Dresher, who, to my eye, all three of them absolutely have to dominate. And if they don't dominate, they cannot win the race. Master Tommy Tucker is a very similar type to Surname in that he, I think he sulks a little bit when he doesn't lead. So what, are we going to have Paul Nicholls both go out and take each other on? Or is one of them going to have to be sacrificed so that the other one can get an easy lead? I just saw an interview with Matt Griffiths on Sky Sports Racing, and he rides Dashiell Dresher, and I didn't get his opinion on the race at all. He said, oh, well, we'll jump off alongside Surname, but I expect Surname to be too fast for us early on, so we'll just let him have the lead. Well, you won't beat him if you employ those tactics. The only way you're going to beat Surname is if you actually go out and serve it up to him. Is Master Tommy Tucker going to go serve it up to him, being another Paul Nicholls trained horse? I couldn't be sure. Is Dashiell Dresher going to go and serve up to him? Not according to his jockey, Matt Griffiths. So there is a chance that Surname might just get an easy lead. But if I had to bet in the race, I would back Master Tommy Tucker on the hope that Nicholls doesn't sacrifice him, in the hope that Daryl Jacob does go up and serve it up to Surname. And if he does go up and serve it up to Surname on Master Tommy Tucker, I think he'll have him sulking and hopefully he'll be too good for them. He's certainly the obvious alternative to Surname.
Thank you, G-Rod. I think you've summed up really how there are so many questions about this, both in terms of which version of the favourite turns up and obviously the tactical battle. DJ, is this a race that has question marks springing up all over the place?
Yeah, first things first, saying I hate first things first. But first things first, this is a terrible race, Bruce. Absolutely terrible. Where are all the good English horses? Like, what the hell is going on here? Surname, obviously, is on his day an exceptional racehorse. But the 132nd favourite is Master Tommy Tucker's rate, 159. All these horses are rated in the mid-150s, and it's a Grade 1 race in February. What is going on? Where are all the good horses? I just don't
know. Do you know what? On that particular vibe, DJ, I was looking through the national weights. I mean, I'm just thinking how many non-Irish horses there's going to be in the field. It could be tiny, couldn't it?
Yeah, I was like you, Bruce. I was going, where's all these kind of mid-11 stone horses in England for the national? And they're just not there.
No,
there's a serious drought of top-class chasers in England at the moment.
Just to add to that, DJ, if you went through the last 12 years, Grade 1 chases in Britain and Ireland, the median RPR for all winners of Grade 1 chases in Britain and Ireland in the last 12 years is 171. Only one horse has run to 171 in this race, and obviously that's Surname. So and the rest of them, the best figure is like 165. So it's £6 away from just the median of Grade 1 winners.
And yet, with that in mind, DJ, the trouble is, if you knew the best Surname was going to turn up, he's fives on, isn't he? But what do you do? Do you trust him or not?
This is the thing, Bruce, and this is why it's fascinating. And in a really strange sort of a way, it's glorious that Surname is so unpredictable, because it makes the race far more fascinating. So that's with Surname, okay? He is a complete enigma, because he is the type of horse that you cannot trust even to run a little bit below par. So it's completely all or nothing. So you know that this horse is not going to run okay and finish second. We know that. That's not going to happen. So what you have to weigh up is 8 to 11 a good price for this horse to absolutely bolt up? Because that's what you're backing. You're backing basically for the horse to win easily. And I think it probably is, Bruce. I think he's claustrophobic, and I think he sulks. And I think whatever happens here, I think you will see Harry Cobden possibly wide. I would say very wide. I'd say he's not going to get involved not only in a pace dust-up up front, but I don't think he's going to get involved in being upsides horses and tactics and all that kind of thing. I think he'll keep out in his own. He'll get room like he did in the Charlie Hall. And with regard to his price, I think he's a good price. I know that sounds ridiculous for a horse that was pulled up in the King George, but he's naturally got more pace than all these horses. He does, when he's on a going day, he loves this track. The ground will be fine. This is a race that would have been on Paul Nicholls' mind all season. He's got cheek pieces on. He worked well in them the other day. Harry Cobden obviously had no problem picking him over Master Tommy Tucker. It's just a simple case of him being the best horse in the race and you taking 8 to 11 about the best version of Surname turning up. And I think with that in mind, Bruce, I think it's a good price.
What about this as an alternative strategy, DJ? You back him on one of those enhanced prices to win by a certain amount. Because as you say, if he wins, he absolutely dots up, isn't he? This isn't going to be a kind of hammer and tongue. Well, you never know with these things, do you? But it's unlikely to be a close thing, is it? We all think he's either going to bomb out or win half the track. So there must be an option there, mustn't there?
Absolutely, absolutely. And I can completely see that. But about 3 years ago, I was absolutely mad on this horse to win. And I did that. And I backed to win by over 10 lengths. It was 25 lengths clear at the last. And the jockey pulled it up to a walk. So these things happen.
After
that. But I can completely see where you're coming from on that front. And just one final note on the race. Graham, don't believe all the jockeys tell you or speak to people on television before a race. I can guarantee you, and I will be shocked, if Dashiell Drasher doesn't jump the first two or three fences in front.
Don't talk to me about things jockeys say on TV. Hey. Graham Temple.
Yeah, it's a no bet race for me, simply because Surname on paper is so much better than the rest. But the facts are, it's been beaten favourite the last four times it went to post as favourite. Do you know what? I wouldn't be surprised to see Dashiell Drasher run very well. Really caught my eye when it won last time out as a course and distance winner and looks a real improver. So if the favourite flops Dashiell Drasher, I wouldn't be surprised to see it win, but no bet for me in this.
Thank you very much, Graham. That was Ascot. Let's do the rest of the ITV Saturday stuff next.
Here at Paddy Power, we're the home of the Money Back Special, with some incredible offers every single week. Check out the website or app today. Terms and conditions apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Welcome back. It's the Racing Post Weekend Postcast with Bruce Millington, David Jennings, Graham Rodway and Graham Temple from Paddy Power. Let's look at two races at Haydock next, starting with the 205. It's the 3-mile William Hill Rendlesham Hurdle, a Grade 2. A wide open race, very interesting. We've got the reigning Stayers champion Liz Nagar Oscar in there, but he's lost his form since his great moment at Cheltenham last year, and you will have to hear a few horses before you hear him mentioned in Graham Temple's price update.
Yeah, Itchy Feet is currently 11-4 on the blind side, 3-1. Emma Thomas 4-1, 6-1 Main Fact, 7-1 Third Wind. Liz Nagar Oscar is 15-2, and it's 16-1 bar those.
This is a puzzle, DJ. I hope you can help me solve it.
Yeah, it is a puzzle. And Itchy Feet adds to the puzzle because he's bleeding, he's getting outpaced in races, and he's staying on. He is the one horse that could win this impressively. He definitely is. And you know, if either of the Grahams come on and say, I really fancy Itchy Feet, I would hold my hands up and say, you know what, you're probably right. But I think the percentage call is Emma Tom Bruce. He won the race last year quite impressively. I don't think he's regressed too much since that last year. He went a ridiculous pace at Fos Lass. It was Adrian Heskin riding a 3-miler in a 2-mile 5 race and thinking, I can go whatever speed I want to turn this into a stamina test. And if the cap fits, picked up the pieces. He's had a wind operation. He likes Haydock. The ground, heavy ground, absolutely ideal. I think at the prices, he's more likely to run his race than Itchy Feet is. And for that reason, I'm going to go with Emma Tom.
Thank you very much, DJ. Graham Temple, who do you fancy for the Rendlesham?
About 4 or 5 weeks ago was my first day on the postcast with you guys, and my nap on that day was a horse called On the Blind Side. Now, I loved the way this horse won at Market Raisin that day. It was the 16th of January, and it made most of the running, and then when Lil Rockerfella came to it, this horse, who obviously has loads of heart, just kept pulling out more. I know it's a 9-year-old and everything, but I'll tell you one thing, if anything beats On the Blind Side in this race at Haydock on Saturday, it'll have to be a good one, because On the Blind Side won't be going down with out of battle. And that's going to be my play, Nicky Henderson's charge.
Okay, who's your play, G-Rod?
Yeah, another complete puzzle of a race, Bruce. I decided to give this one the swerve.
Really? Okay, excellent. Good. You're very selective today, G-Rod. I like that. There's no harm in that at all. Let's do the, what are we going to do next? Let's do the 240 at Haydock, which is, this is a right old test. Funny enough, even though there's heavy in loads and loads of going descriptions at the moment, Haydock, which is normally the ultimate paddy field, is soft at the moment. Not quite sure what the forecast is, but so it's going to be a slog, but not quite as acute a test as some of these Haydock staying chases. It is the William Hill Grand National Trial, of course. It's a grade three over 3 miles, 4.5 furlongs, and we've got nine runners. Grand Temple, what is the latest betting and who do you fancy?
Not a chance is 130. On card is a 4-1, 9-2 Sojourn, the Two Amigos, a 5-1 shot. Lord Dumanil is 15-2 alongside Achille. Potter's Legend 8-1, and it's 11-1 bar. Which horse do I like in this 240 at Haydock? Well, I'd written in Lord Dumanil earlier on today as my pick. It's currently a 15-2 shot. I could see Paddy doing an extra place on this. Details haven't come through to me yet. But if you look at Lord Dumanil, finished in midfield in the Welsh National, it's raced 3 times at Haydock in its career, and it won twice and was second once. It's an each-way play for me, Lord Dumanil, particularly anyone who likes horses for courses.
G-Rod, have you got a strong fancy here?
It's funny because there's quite a few horses for courses in this race, and I'm on another one of them, but it's not Lord Dumanil. It's Ramses De Tailly, who has run twice at Haydock. He won once in a novice hurdle there on heavy ground, and he was second in this race 2 years ago behind Robbins Firth on good ground. I thought that was a cracking run because he's a much better horse on softer ground, Ramses De Tailly. He was racing off a mark of 149 that day. He runs off 152 here, but he's got Fergus Gillard claiming £5, and that's a bit of a gift, that £5, Fergus Gillard. We've said it before on this show. So I'm happy to say that, in effect, he's racing off 147, a £2 lower mark than when second 2 years ago. He's been in form at least a little bit this season. He did win at Cheltenham in November, and his last two disappointments, yeah, he's beaten Miles in both races, but I think one was in the Beecher at Aintree and one was in the Welsh National. So they're the sort of races where if you lose, you tend to lose by a mile anyway. Easy to ignore those two runs. I think he's got a class edge, Ramses De Tailly.
You've got such a beautiful, seductive French accent there, G-Rod. You sound like David Ginola. Let's see what David Jennings fancies.
That was very good, Bruce. Not a very strong fancy, but I think Sojourn is unexposed, likes the ground. I think 142, it got a big hike. It went up £11 for winning at Carlisle on heavy ground earlier on the season, and was second to Sam's Adventure last time at Haydock. And I just think it's progressing more than those below it. And I think Sojourn at around 9-2, I think he'll run his race. I think he's going to be hard to beat.
Thank you. The final race on the ITV card on Saturday is the 318 at Wincanton. It's just short of 2 miles. It's the Betway Kingwell Hurdle. And Song for Someone, who's been so impressive this season, heads the market, Graham Temple, ahead of my old favourite. Please come back to form, Goshen.
Song for Someone is 5-4, Goshen 5-2. Navajo Pass 130, and it's 10-1 bar that trio, Bruce.
G-Rod, is this going to cause ripples on the champion hurdle market?
Probably not, because the one that wins it is the most underrated hurdler in training in Britain, Song for Someone. I think he's the best hurdler in Britain, easily.
Okay. In that case, if he does dot up, that would cause a ripple on the champion hurdle market, wouldn't it? Because, I mean, they're still humming and hawing about whether to run him in it, aren't they?
Well, he's easily the best hurdler in Britain?
Absolutely, definitely the best hurdler in Britain. Absolutely, the best.
He's rated 158.
He's the best hurdler in Britain. Forget Epiton. Yeah, she's been very disappointing this season. And this horse beat Silver Streak last time out by a nose, albeit Silver Streak flying home. But Silver Streak then went on to thrash Epiton in the Grade One Christmas Hurdle. I'm going to take that form literally.
You can't use that form literally,
DJ. Surely Epiton ran way below form, yes, there, didn't she, G-Rod?
She ran way below her best form, but she didn't run way below her best form from this season. I just don't think she looks the same horse this year. I mean, we had Noel Feely on a different programme on here, and he made a point that he watched her baton throughout that whole race, and he said, oh, I think she jumps like a horse that's got back problems. You know, she don't look right. And I think he's right. To my eye, I don't think she'll win another champion hurdle with baton. No way. I don't think we'll ever see her as good as she was last season. Obviously, Nicky Henderson and all her fans will be hoping I'm wrong. But on this season's form, Song for Someone, the best hurdler in Britain, I think he would have won that race at Cheltenham where he beat Silver Streak and O's. Even easier than he did.
It was a flat race, basically, wasn't it? Because they had the old low sun, didn't they? So.
Well, I mean, this is the thing with this horse. His chief asset, Song for Someone, is that he's the most slickest of jumpers. He's so fast over a hurdle. And they only jumped 5 hurdles in that race. I think they certainly omitted the last hurdle. There was a massively long run in. That would have gone all against Song for Someone. He wants to jump as many hurdles as possible, but yet he was still able to win, beating horses like Silver Streak, who went on to win a Grade 1, thrashing the champion hurdle winner. I don't understand why nobody's given him the credit that he deserves. He's won 3 Grade 2s in a row, including this race last year. If he was to win it again, he'd be the first horse since Hall au Loir in 2002 to win 2 King Will hurdles. Hall au Loir went on to win a champion hurdle. I think this horse will win, and I think he's got a massive chance in the champion hurdle, but nobody agrees with me, so that's why there'll be no ripples in the market.
Okay, brilliant. Thanks, G-Rod. that's excellent. It's so good to have you back on the show, mate. DJ, what do you make of A, Graham's confidence behind Song for Someone, and B, the race as a whole?
I don't even know where to start, Bruce. I don't even know where to start. I did agree with one of those lines. One of those lines that Graham Rodway said. I do think Song for Someone is underrated, and I do think he's a lovely horse, and you know, he probably doesn't get the credit he deserves, but to say he is the best hurdler in Britain by a mile is I think it's nonsense. But anyway, the thing about this race is, Bruce, okay, Song for Someone has got to give Goshen £6, okay, so that means if you think Goshen is 156 rated horse, it means that Song for Someone will have to run to a mark of 162, and maybe he will, I don't know. But with Goshen, okay, I think, and this tends to happen quite a lot, Bruce, I think with high-profile horses, when they do disappoint, we overemphasize the disappointment, okay? So if you mentioned Goshen to anybody at the moment, they go, ah, Goshen, he's finished. He's absolutely finished. He's not, it was a freak in the Triumph Hurdle. He's not the horse he was, okay? But the bare facts are, Bruce, that Goshen has only ran once over hurdles since his incredible performance in the Triumph Hurdle. That's the long and the short of it. Since he ran the Triumph Hurdle, he has ran once, and that was when bitterly disappointing at Cheltenham, okay? Bitterly disappointing. He obviously ran on the flat during the autumn when Gary Moore said twice that he wasn't fit enough. It was only to get him ready for his hurdling campaign, okay? So he was very disappointing in December in Cheltenham where he hung badly. He was keen. He didn't enjoy himself, okay? But to me, I think we've been far too quick to write him off, Bruce. And one of the things that gives me great hope with this horse is that in the last fortnight, okay, Gary Moore has had 4 winners, okay? But he's also, I think, had 9 seconds and I think a couple of thirds as well. His horses at last are starting to spark. And I think when Goshen was disappointing at Cheltenham, his horses weren't running well. I think it will take a hell of a performance from Song for Someone to beat Goshen. And if Rodders is right here, okay, I will happily, the next time I see Rodders, because Rodders is great crack to have a pint with, I will happily buy him drink all night and we'll reminisce about the day Graham Rodway spotted Song for Someone and said he was a glorious racehorse. But I think he's got this one wrong, Bruce, and I think Goshen will win.
It's easy to start saying you'll get the beers in when it's likely to be about 9 months before we can even go to a pub again, DJ. But I will remember that, and I'm sure G-Rod as well, so we'll see. So we've got a very strong vote for Song for Someone, a very strong vote for Goshen. Graham Temple, are you going to sit on the fence or side with one of the lads?
I'm siding with neither of the lads. It's worth pointing out that Song for Someone's currently 16-1 for the champion hurdle, which I think could be of interest after a very strong mention for it there. Goshen couldn't have it. Those two flat disappointing efforts, and then it's to run over the hurdle. It was so disappointing. I'd have to wait to see that one showing a bit of flair again before I'd side with that. But the one I have to go with is Navajo Pass. Made all to beat Bovadere on its comeback effort by 4.25 lengths on the 23rd of January. And it went a very good clip there. Bovadere ran well enough, I thought, in second. And I think Navajo Pass is the one to side with here. And that's the one I'm going to back.
Six runners and the lads give you the front three. It's going to be a fascinating race. I think you're going to have to make your own minds up on this one, folks. I would just love to see Goshen return to form. Right then, before we get the naps, let's see if the lads fancy anything else on Saturday. We've got the non-televised races at the three jumps meetings, and we've got all-weather action at Lingfield and Newcastle. Unfortunately, Garen Park's big day has been scuppered by the weather. David Jennings, have you got anything that isn't your nap that you'd like to flag up?
I do, Bruce. Just two. In the 350 at Haydock, I like Farrant's Way here for Venetia Williams. It was just beaten last time by Potter's Hedger at Haydock. And I just thought it was probably just a little bit of greenness in the closing stages that caused it. It's gone up £4 for finishing second, but I thought it was a really good run. Just an improving stayer that's getting better. Venetia's team are in good form at the minute. So Farrant's Way in the 350 at Haydock. And keeping to Haydock, Bruce, in the 425, it's the Albert Bartlett trial. It's a grade two. This is quite an interesting race here, I thought. And there's one here at a price that I think could run well. I think it'll run better than its price. Mr. Harp for Thomas Gallagher. It was second to Imperial Alcazar, who I think is almost the banker of the Cheltenham Festival in the Pretemps final. He was second to Imperial Alcazar in that Pretemps qualifier at Warwick. I thought it was an absolutely lovely run, backed up with Chautauqua performance, loves heavy ground, only rated 126. So on the figures has a bit to find, but I think it's an improving stayer that bumped into a really good horse last time. So Mr. Harp in the 425 at Haydock.
Anything from you, Graham?
Yeah, there's a fantastic card at Riyadh in Saudi Arabia, where one of the richest races in the world is being run at 5:40, the Saudi Cup. They're running for a mere £7.2 million sterling in that. I tell you, if the bookies were open, we're often used to the last race of the day being a bumper or an all-weather race at Wolverhampton or something like that. So this is an absolute cracker. And I think Mishrif for John Gosden is a no-brainer each-way play in the feature race. Finished second in the Saudi Derby over this course over a furlong shorter last year, despite sort of fluffing the start a little bit. There's no flies in Mr. Gosden. He'll be looking for at least the travel expenses here. It's very hard to see Mishrif out of the top three, although Bob Baffert has a very solid favourite there in Charlatan, and our Donald McKenna, our international horse racing expert, he said that Charlatan's going to be hard beaten. But Mishrif is worth a play each way, I think. Could stick its nose in front, but you should get the place anyway to get your money back if he doesn't win.
Okay, G-Rod.
Yeah, I've got a couple. 126 at Lingfield. Silent Film made quite an encouraging debut at Kempton over a mile. Stayed on really well. Got well beaten by the winner, but I thought it was a promising effort and probably won't be favourite here. So Silent Film in the 126. And in the 5 o'clock at Haydock, which is an absolutely fantastic hunter's chase. I mean, a real proper one with horses that are going to be contesting the Fox Hunters at Cheltenham. The World's End has moved into hunter chases this year, and he was obviously a grade one performer at his very best over hurdles. He won the 2019 Long Walk. He has a massive class edge if he can return to anything like his best form. And I think he will improve for his first run in a hunter chase at Warwick at the start of this month. The World's End in the 5 o'clock at Haydock.
Thank you very much, G-Rod. Let's get the Saturday naps.
This will not be beaten.
And Graham Temple, you struck gold last week with convertible, so we'll go with you first to follow up.
Well, a lot of people say, you know, if something's too big a price, don't nap it, like look for something short. I'm not like that. There's a horse I really fancy on Saturday. I think it should be much, much shorter than it is at the moment at 16 to 1. But I am napping Cloudy Glen in the 225 at Ascot.
G-Rod.
Mine's at Wincanton in the 213. There's also a like in this race called Braylon Dar, who I tipped when he was second to Happy Diva in the Paddy Power Gold Cup, or whatever they call it now, at Cheltenham a couple of seasons ago. He's dropped back to the same mark of 1:38, and I thought he shaped like he was coming back to form when second over 3 miles at Ludlow last time. He's always been better over 2.5, so it's Brayland R in the 2:13 at Wincanton.
And David?
I struck gold last week as well, Bruce.
Sorry, mate, did you? Who was? I can't remember.
Abdab.
Sorry, yeah. So you did. Yes, you did. Apologies for that. Yes, I should have given you props for that, mate. Yeah, because you made a very good case for it.
I did. Yeah. Self-praise is loads of praise. My nap is in the 150 at Ascot. It is remastered.
Okay, thank you very much, chaps. Good luck with the Saturday naps. We've got some fantastic Sunday action to do next.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Welcome back to the final part of the Racing Post Weekend Postcast. Bruce Millington, David Jennings, Graham Rodway and Graham Temple from Paddy Power. The Newbury card was frozen off last weekend and they've salvaged the best of it. In fact, they salvaged the whole damn lot of it. And it's being taken place on Sunday in front of the ITV4 cameras. Four races there, starting with 150. The Betfair Weighed-In Podcast Weekly Handicap Hurdle. Over 3 miles, big field and wide open Grand Temple.
No bet for me in this, Bruce. Too complicated to try and figure it out.
Okay, G-Rod, is it too complicated for you?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, I agree with Graham. I'm going to swerve this too.
What about you, DJ?
Absolutely not. No, this is the one of the ones I'm looking forward to most this weekend, Bruce. I have a thing for Es Perfecto from the Alan King stable. I think this horse could win the 2023 Ladbrokes Trophy at Newbury. I think he's going to make a cracking novice chaser or a chaser next season and then the following year. I love this horse. I think he's crying out for 3 miles. He bumped into Brave Man's Game at Newbury last time over 2.5 miles. I think Brave Man's Game is a top notcher. And he's running his first handicap here over hurdles off a mark of 133 over 3 miles on a flat track at Newbury. Everything is tailor-made for Es Perfecto. I'd be really disappointed if he doesn't win.
I'm totally with you with Brave Man's Game. I don't know why that's not favourite. 2:25 at Newbury on Sunday is the Denman Chase, sponsored by Betfair, over just short of 3 miles. What a race we've got. Graham Temple, take us through the latest betting.
Yeah, Clan de Zobo 5-6, Lost in Translation 4-1, 6-1 Kalashnikov, 10-1 Secret Investor, 14-1 Dashiell Drasher if it shows up. The conditional is also 14-1, 25 bar.
Okay, Graham Rodway, you can have first crack at this. Do you trust Clan de Zobo to bring it home as favourite?
I do. Yeah, I think he is. He should win, shouldn't he? He's the best horse in the race. He holds a class edge. Of course, he was disappointing in the King Jewels last time when he was behind Frodon, but I didn't ever really feel he was going that well that day, and he still did well to finish third, I thought. Obviously, if Lost in Translation comes back to form, he can give him a real race. Colin Tizard, I think, won this with Native River on his way to the Gold Cup, didn't he? So I like Lost in Translation as a horse, but he's lost his way, hasn't he? So you have to say Clan de Zobo is the most likely winner.
Do you concur, David Jennings?
I think that's impossible, Bruce. The way I look at this is Clan de Zobo at the moment is 5-6 and Surname is 8-11. Surname has far less to beat than Clan de Zobo does. If Lost in Translation comes back to anywhere close to his best, he's not far off Clan de Zobo form-wise. I think it's very tricky to try and pick between the two. If both of them run their races, there's not much between them. So you could argue that Lost in Translation is a little bit of value, but he's ran two shockers. I actually think one horse that could run really well here is Seapage, because he'd be able to jump as well as any of them in the race. And the ground is perfect for him. I think the trip he'll just about get as well. He's 25-1 at the minute. That underestimates Seapage. Seapage is a good horse. He's only getting £2 from the two main contenders. But I could see him running a big... It's one of these ones, Bruce. You'll back it and it'll run well and you won't get paid. But it'll still be a decent bet, if that makes sense. I think he'll run well.
Okay. And Graham Temple.
Yeah, this 225 at Newbury, Clan de Zobo, he wasn't the only horse that had his bubble burst by Frodon in the King George. But Lost in Translation, remember, third in the Gold Cup just 3 races back. He burst a blood vessel in the King George. He's had a wind up since. Colin Tizard went through a bit of a cold patch there for a month or so. I wouldn't be surprised to see Lost in Translation arriving here in good form. And I think at the current 4-1, I think I'd chance Lost in Translation for a small bet.
Okay, we move on to the 3 o'clock now. It's the Betfair Game Spirit Chase. Blimey, this is such a great card, isn't it? 2.5 miles of furlong. We're obviously hoping to see Altior. That's not going to happen. But we have got six marvellous two-mile chasers. Graham Temple, what's the latest betting here?
Yeah, Greenatine 7-4. So Royal 100-30. 7-2 Champ. Dolos is an 8-1 shot alongside Fanny and Destroval. And 10-1 Magic Saint.
Really interesting, DJ, isn't it? With Champ being dropped in instead of Altior over a trip that's obviously meant to be far too short for him. How do you think Champ will run?
I think he could win, Bruce. I think he's a funny sort of horse. He is a thorough stayer, as we've seen in what is now the Brown Advisory Novice Chase at Cheltenham. But to me, I just think with Champ, I think he's underrated. And I know you're one of the ones that doesn't think he's a real top horse. And his jumping,
I just worry about his jumping, that's all. Yeah. I mean, you know, he's so good that the beauty with Champ is if you get his jumping right, he can take forward steps, can't he? So I'm not saying that. I just do have my concerns that he'll clout one every so often.
Yeah,
And
I think this will be a real learning curve for him, which is good. I think last year, his two performances at Newbury, and we've seen from Drash and Dasher that form has even stood up. I think his two performances at Newbury were arguably his two best performances last year, certainly visually on the eye anyway. I think with Champ, I think the reason I think 7-2 is a good price, Bruce, like, you're not taking 5-4 of a Champ over this trip. You're taking 7-2. And the reason I think it's a decent price is I don't think there's that many good two-mile chasers around. I don't think Greenatine is that good at all. Scoroyle, you know exactly what you're going to get. He's a good horse. He's not an exceptionally top serial grade one winner. That's why I think Shaq and Persuade is the most solid favourite at the entire Cheltenham Festival. So I think with 7-2 Champ, because I don't think the other two milers are that good, I just think it's a little bit of value. The vibes are really good. He's done loads of work. Henrietta Knight has been helping him with his jumping. I think this horse has got loads of ability. I think he's underrated. And I think you're getting a decent price about Champ at 7-2 to cope with the drop and trip.
I can have that. And I'll tell you, one of my many theories in racing, a lot of which are absolutely rubbish, is that everyone gets too hung up on the trip. And I think that, you know, that if you can cut it at 2.5, then provided it's not an absolute crawl and you just get a little bit tap for toe coming home, I don't see why he can't do it too. So I'm going to be with you, David Jennings. Graham Temple, how are you going to play this one?
Well, I can't have Champ. I'm sorry, lads. Dropping and trip. We remember the RSA at Cheltenham last year. He only started running going after the last when he caught Manella Indo, and my jaw was on the ground because Manella Indo was my big play at Cheltenham last year. But I think Champ is only out for a pipe opener. Anyone that's watching Nicky Henderson's runners over the last month or two, you know that the vast majority of his horses have needed their first run of the season. So he's a watch and brief for me. And if I was laying any horse in the race, I'd be laying Champ. So I really don't like it. Apologies, lads. But
that's right.
The one I think that could be worth a play here is Dolos. It's a gutsy performer, one of three that Paul Nicholls has in the race. It wasn't fluent at the second last one, beating a length behind Moonlighter back on the 5th of February. We know it's fit. I know Nicholls has the favourite, but I think for a little interesting play there, I'm going to go for Dolos each way, knowing that I only have the two places. But I find it hard to see Dolos out of the top two here.
Graham Rodway, what's your view of this?
Yeah, I agree with Graham in a way, in that I think the favourites are very vulnerable here. Greenatine's nothing special. So Royal's been running over hurdles, and Champ obviously is a bizarre piece of training, in my opinion. But there you go. I think he'll be an outsider, might win it. And if I would be thinking probably Fanny and Destravel.
Okay, thank you very much indeed. Right then, we move on to the 3:35 at Newbury. It's the Betfair Hurdle. 2 miles, a huge field. I think we've got 22 runners, maybe even. No, we've got 24 runners. What a great spectacle this is going to be. It's going to be absolutely fantastic, but really, really difficult, obviously, to find the winner. Before we attempt to do that, let's get the latest betting from Paddy Power.
Yeah, Cadzand 5-1. Soaring Glory is a 6-1 shot. Buzz 10-1. Mr. Coffee's also 10s. Annual Invictus and Edwardstone, as well as Milkwood, are all 12-1. And it's 14-1 and bigger the rest.
Okay, Graham, who do you fancy for the 3:35 at Newbury?
I had gone for a nice addition in this. Oh, it's a 66-1 shot, so I'll stick with it. I was just wondering, was it running since I studied it earlier on this morning? 66-1 shot each way for me in this, Bruce. David Pipe trains. This thing was second in the Boodles at Cheltenham last March. I know it ran poorly in December at Ascot. That was on heavy ground, though. just think it's a bit too big and it might fall into a price. And if I know Paddy, he'll be going an extra place on that race as well. So nice addition at a mad price each way.
Wow, that's left field. What about you, G-Rod?
I think Mr. Coffey's still a very good horse, Bruce, and I think he's worth another chance after his disappointing run at Sandown behind Benson when he was a hot favourite. He had previously looked absolutely superb at the track when at Sandown when winning there in November, where he got whacked up to 138 £10 the weights. But he's a real big chasing type. I suspect Nicky Henderson would have had this in mind for a while. I'll be giving Mr. Coffey another chance.
Right, you are. And DJ, have you sussed this?
Yeah, sure. It's simple. It's Mr. Coffey is the best handicapped horse in training. The asterisk next to that statement is that he just needs to settle. If Mr. Coffey settles over the first two hurdles, I just don't see how he can't win this. Look, last year he was my supreme horse. He absolutely just ran like a lunatic at Huntingdon then. But like the form of his win over Shake 'Em Up Harry and on to victory at Newbury is really solid. And I like that he's had time to develop. Last time at Sandown, look, I've said this before, I just hate races with Totterdown in them because he just goes off way too quick and nobody knows what to do. And Totterdown, if you go after him, he'll come back. If you don't come after him, he won't come back. And I just put a line through every race that Totterdown runs in because he just makes a mess of it. And it just turned into a mess of a race at Sandown. Nico de Bonneville accepted the situation pretty early there. I think they know they have a seriously talented horse. I think they have a grade one horse at the moment who's rating 138. I think he could, this time next year, we'll be talking about Mr. Coffey as a live Arkle contender. That's how good I think he is. Now, if Nico de Mindville is listening, Nico, sit third or fourth early. None of this right out the back. You're not going to come from last to first in a bet for hurdle. Sit third or fourth. Try and get him a little bit settled, like my tenth or yours was when he won the race. He's a similar type to my tenth or yours. He's that free-going, buzzy type. If the first two hurdles go smoothly for Mr. Coffey, Bruce, I'd be really disappointed if he's not banged there coming down to the last.
Okay, I'm sure Nico will give you a little cut of his winnings for that invaluable advice there, DJ. Two very strong fancies there for Mr. Coffey. Right, then we've got three other races on ITV4 on Sunday. A couple at Market Raisin, and we've also got the Ladbrokes Island Boyne Hurdle over at Navan, which features Tiger Roll. What do you fancy in any of that stuff, G-Rod?
Not a lot is probably the answer, okay. Bruce. So it'll be fascinating to see how Tiger Roll runs, though, won't it?
It certainly will, yes. All eyes on that one. DJ, anything catch your eye in the shoulder races?
Yeah, good card at Navan. Tiger Roll will run really well. I'm getting very nice vibes from Keith about Tiger Roll. I think he won't win, because it's a mammoth task for an 11-year-old to win that race, but expect him to be clear favourite for the Grand National and maybe single figure priced around 10-1 after this. I think he'll run well. I think he could finish in the first three or four. The one I actually like in it, Bruce, is 12-1 at the moment with Paddy Power, Durasso, who is just a mudlark, who has been disappointing. But I thought he ran better than the distance he was beaten at Goran Park last time in the Galmoy behind Sam's profile. I think on this ground, 2.5 Navan should be perfect for Durasso. So I could see him run a big race. He's 12-1. And one other one I fancy, Bruce, in the 3.25, the grade three that was saved from Clonmel, Manila Escape for Henry de Bromhead and Rachel Blackmore. It was very impressive live on ITV when it won at Tremore. And I just think this is a young stayer going places. And I think he will win the 3.25 at Navan.
Thank you very much, G-Rod. Graham Temple, anything else from you?
Yeah, I have to concur with DJ there with Manila Escape in the 3.25 at Navan on Sunday. It absolutely hosed up at Tremor, stepping up and tripping, jumping up in class quite swiftly. Henry de Bromhead and Rachel Blackmore, everything points to that one in the 3.25. And another one I really like is going to post in the 2.47 at Navan, the Boyne Hurdle, the feature on the card. French Dynamite for Mouse Morris was fifth in the Christmas Hurdle, just behind Fury Road, who tops the market in this. It weakened from the last on that day at Leopardstown. And I really think that the drop and trip should suit. Mouse Morris doesn't have a lot of horses in his stable, but I wouldn't be surprised to see French Dynamite win the 2.47 at Navan. So a little double for me on Sunday. French Dynamite in the 2.47 and DJ's fancy there in the 3.25 at Navan. Manila Escape.
Thank you very much indeed, chaps. That was a patch show. Hopefully some decent winners I hope your betting goes well this weekend. Don't forget to bet safely. We're back next week when we're looking ahead to the final set of Cheltenham Clues from Kempton. We've got the Ida at Newcastle, and I think we've got the Winter Derby as well for Flat Fans. Hope you can join us for that. And in the meantime, Maddie's back on Monday to review all the action. So more great racing podcasts next week.
Paddy Power Games has over 250 of your favourites to play online, and we're going to attempt to name them all in this 10-second ad before the T's and C's kick in. There's Blackjack, 18+, bgambleaware.org.